box. Let's see if it works. Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. How are we? Good. Are there any text mining experts in the room? That's good. Because I've got a very, very, very basic, a very basic overview of what it's all about. And the idea is, so some of you, I think you'll probably know a lot of this, and it might be a little boring, but maybe I'll say something that you might use on your behalf with people that you meet to try and explain what this thing is, text mining and data mining. So if this works. Yes. Okay. So the first thing I have to say is the scope. The scope is STM publishing, scholarly publication. That's why, that's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons why this not completely random journal manuscript is there. If you look very carefully, you'll see it's actually a very important manuscript from 1953 from Watson and Crick, where they describe the DNA structure. And I'll come back to why I showed that in a moment. So what is text mining? Well, the first thing to mention about text mining is that it's actually a really, really bad name. I'm not suggesting we change it. It's out there, no one's going to change it, but it is in fact a very bad name, because if you compare it to something like gold mining, you're mining for gold. Well, we're not mining for text. Text is the earth. We're mining for something else. So if you think of normal mining, gold mining, coal mining, whatever it might be, you're mining for the coal. In this case, you're not. But what are you mining for? So in that text, what you're mining for are facts and opinions, or meaning. So text mining is nothing more than mining, extracting the meaning from text, either one article or many articles. Now, anyone who processes that quickly will think, well, that's not very exciting, is it? I mean, that sounds to me like reading, right? I mean, that's what we do when we read. If I showed you that, if I flip back and showed you that page, all of you here could read that and extract the facts out of it pretty simply. Even if you didn't understand the complex structures of the helix, you'd figure out that Watson and Crick were the authors, you'd figure out where they came from, you'd probably figure out what they're talking about. It would be trivial for you in a few moments to extract the facts and opinions from that paper. And that's all text mining is, except that it's a machine doing it. So text mining is all about how we can teach the machine to read. And that's it. And I'll tell you why it's important in a moment. Before I do that, two things. There are two ways. How do you think, if you were imagining you have to teach a machine to read, how would you do it? Well, the first way, you might think, well, if I teach the machine all of the grammar that we learned, so I teach the computer like I learned to read, like you learned to read, then surely it must be able to read. And the answer is yes, it can. You can formalize rules of grammar and language, and you can create machine code that translates those, and you can teach the machine to read. It's fairly good, it's not brilliant, but it's pretty good. There's another way, and that's called a rule-based approach. The other way is a statistical approach. And this one sounds a bit more fantastical, but it's actually more amazing. You can just take as much text as you possibly can imagine, give it to the machine and say, you figure out how to read. And the machine will analyze the text and make up its own rules. And amazingly, the machines can make up the right rules, and they begin to understand and extract facts and opinions just by statistically manipulating the text. The best example of that is Google Translate. So has everyone used Google Translate? I'm sure you have, right? Yeah, everyone has. It does a remarkably good job. The way that it does that job, apart from some very clever programming, is Google has, of course, it's sitting on this vast amount of content. It's sitting upon a vast amount of translated content. So it doesn't just look for the words, that would be easy, that's just dictionary. There are many, many online dictionaries. What it does is looks for whole phrases in its enormous database of texts that have been translated, and it looks for what looks like a good translation of that particular phrase and returns it in whatever language you want. That's nothing more than a statistical approach to machine reading. And it's there on your desktop. You can use it right now if you're behind your laptop and give it a try. And it's remarkably accurate. It makes mistakes, but it's remarkably good. And that's probably the best summary of the current state of the art of text mining that you can have today. Putting something into Google Translate, see how well it does. That's a pretty good guide to how good those statistical techniques are. They're very, very good now compared to what they were 10 or 15 years ago. And why is this important? Well, if you think of the way that that scholarly communication is done, if you think of the way that journal articles, like the Watson and Crick article, the way that they're structured, and the reason for an author writing them is most usually to share facts and opinions, or maybe assertions, but certainly to share facts and to make some opinions or assertions over those facts. So by their very nature, scientific information is actually kind of pre-designed to work well for text mining. So it's potentially very powerful. Okay, make sense so far? So I'm sure you're thinking, well, what about data mining? Well, that's a pretty bad name too, because of course we're not mining for data. The goal in this case, so we're mining databases, so the Earth in this case are databases, large amounts of data, but what we're mining for are patterns and trends. So we're looking for patterns and trends in data. That data can be numbers, but it can be words too. Yeah? And here's the really interesting thing about text and data mining. Think about text mining. So I'm looking for things that facts and opinions that have been written by the author in the article, and which if I'm a human, I can also read and do for myself. So those are things that are known. So text mining is extracting things that are known. But data mining is much more interesting from a discovery perspective, because these patterns and trends probably are very hard for humans to see. It's very hard for us to imagine reading 100,000 words all at the same time and looking for some pattern of how many words occur. It's very difficult for us humans to assimilate that quantity of information and draw patterns and trends. And so if text mining is something that a computer or a machine emulating humans, data mining is something that really is pretty much the domain of the machines. It's a really important distinction. You'll see them clunged together very often, partly because, of course, what we're dealing with is if you extract your facts and your opinions out of text, you put it in a database, it then becomes a wonderful source to data mine. But I think it's really important to keep those things apart, and I'll come back to right at the very end why I think that's important. Sound reasonable so far? Yeah? Good. Then we'll go on to the second topic. Why bother? So why do this? We could just read it, right? I said it's just reading, so why don't we read it? Well, there are four reasons that I've sort of categorized into main reasons why people do text mining. First one is actually many of you I saw from the side are publishers and you own or manage content on behalf of other people. And one of the biggest uses right now is actually enhancing text. This happens to be an Elsevier one. And if I scroll down here, this is obviously just a slide, but if I had it live, you could scroll down. And in this particular paper, you would see gene sequences with a link. And if you clicked on them up on this right panel here, you'd see the gene sequence information being pulled out of a database and displayed alongside the article. What's happened here is that someone, probably a machine, possibly a human, because I was still working for Elsevier, when we did the first prototypes of this, it was a human back there marking it up. Increasingly, it's a machine who's going through the articles going, that looks like a gene sequence to me. That's a fact. It's a gene sequence. I'm going to put a link there and link out to something interesting. So a big, big use today and there's a lot more of it going on than you'd imagine by almost all of the large publishers, but a lot of other people are doing enhancing text. You can tell it's a good field because there are a number of people like Temis, and others who are making money selling their products, their semantic markup, if you like. You often see it mentioned as semantic markup. They're selling their tools into publishers. So there's clearly a market for it. There's a demand. Anecdotally, I don't hear that there's a lot of use by users particularly. It's very valued. Everyone sees the potential. But unless someone's going to correct me, I've not heard that everyone's rushing to use this. I think that's partly due to the way we consume information. And I'm certain that will change. So text mining, getting the facts out of the article, making a sensible link and enhancing the text. That's the number one reason for doing, one of four reasons for doing it. Yeah? The second one. Here's where it gets interesting. So particularly pharma reasons. Look, we pay biologists quite a large salary to do research for us and to discover new drugs, new drug pathways. But they spend a lot of their time reading literature because they have to. Well, hang on a minute. If we've got a machine that can read on our behalf, we don't have. They can spare all that time. So if we get the machine learning in, they do the reading. the biologists can do the research. And that's exactly what happens in many, many pharma companies today. In fact, all of them, certainly all the ones I spoke to, but many others, have some sort of system. They won't tell you what it is because it's often proprietary, but there also are startup companies who sell into pharma. So this, using the machines to read articles on behalf of biologists and other scientists in pharma, happens today, and I've called it systematic literature review. But it's basically doing the reading faster, more of it than we could ever do. And maybe not make mistakes. I mean, the machine doesn't get tired, doesn't get drunk, doesn't have a bad day. It's probably going to do it better than us. Okay, so that's number two reason. You with me so far? Yes? Very good. Third one is a little bit controversial. So here's the theory. If only I could text mine and extract all the meaning and all of the facts and opinions out of all the literature that's been published ever, I'm sure that sitting in there is things that we didn't discover yet. And it sounds fantastic. I look very hard for real concrete examples of actually that happening, and there are not many. This is one of them, which ironically has actually been created manually. So this is some data mining. This is a site called brainmap.org, and it gives you access to a large database that they've built up over many years of functional magnetic resonance imaging. And they did it manually. They actually did, it was pre-computer, so they read and extracted the meaning themselves out of all these articles over 10 or 15 years and put them into a database themselves. But it has become a very important resource for certain researchers, and they will run experiments against this. It saves you having to cut open real live people or do prods and studies in heads and things, because it's here. You can actually do experiments against the functional magnetic resonance images as if you were doing it on live patients. And I'm told, and certainly there have been a large number of publications as a result of work done on this, and that's about as close as I can get to a sort of an example of how discovery might work. I suspect a lot of more of this is going on, but it's just wrapped up into the research process. So the way things happen is it's not that somehow this database contains these amazing insights that if only we knew them, we'd solve world hunger. It just might help a scientist come up with an interesting hypothesis, a new possible question to ask, a new area of research to dig into, which may or may not provide results. And so I think actually you'll find more of this than people report. It's just become entwined into the way that the researchers do their research. If machines can help me come up with a new hypothesis, then that's great. But I'm going to publish my results rather than I don't publish hypotheses. That's not typically what happens. So I think this is a bit hidden, but partly because of the nature of science. Okay, so that's the third reason. The fourth one is mostly why we get all the hype, certainly over the last year. How does text mining work? I told you it was the machine learning, either rule-based or statistical. But it does that with the use of tools. So applications that are pointed at bodies of text, and I'll show you an example in a moment, that extract the meaning. But who develops these tools? Well, mostly these tools are developed as a result of research into this discipline, computational linguistics. And of course, if you're a researcher in this area, you want to do one of two things. You either want to develop a new tool, which is great, and that's taking the whole field forward, or you want to apply the existing tools on a new body of text that's not been mined before, because that's new and interesting too. And that's very much what's driving the request to publishers and other content holders. Hey, we've been doing this in life sciences for many years. Can I use my tool in life sciences to text mine in geography or can I mash up different areas? And so there's a real push from the researchers to explore as much of the possible text as they can. And I think a lot of the requests that publishers receive is driven by this. And they're also the ones making the noise about, you know, your content. Hey, come on, publishers, your information should be freely available. Why is it not? You're locking the door to science. If you look at it, a lot of the people saying that are people engaged in research. Okay, four reasons. Clear so far? Excellent. Last bit. So I thought it'd be kind of fun, and I'm a bit of a geek. So I thought, wouldn't it be fun to actually try and do this myself? It can't be that hard. There are tools, they're publicly available, they're on the web, they're open source. How hard can it be to actually text mine? I mean, it's reading. So what I did was take this paper, as I mentioned before, this is the Watson and Crick paper, and I thought, well, how would I set about it if I took this paper and tried to text mine it? The first thing you'll notice, and especially those of you who are more trained eye, is this. I've told you it's a PDF. It is a PDF, only, of course, it's not really a PDF. It's an image that's been scanned and put in a wrapper to look like a PDF. So unfortunately, I can't copy and paste the text, sadly, which is a bit of a barrier if I want to text mine, because that's actually not text. I mean, it is as a human, but for a machine, that's just an image. And it looks just like it could be a drawing for a machine. So somehow I've got to convert this into something that the machine can understand. So I got lucky, rather than having to retype it in myself, someone else, because this is an important paper, someone else retyped it and posted it on the web. So this is an HTML version of that previous paper, where all the information has been typed in. Still readable there, from a human perspective. This one's readable from the machine as well, except not really the way the machine would like to read. So what I used was a tool called OpenCali, which is from Thomson. It's freely available. There's a demo that's freely available. OpenCali itself is a paid-for service. But they have a free kind of demo page you can go to. You can paste in any text you like, and you see what the machine makes of it. So that's what I did. I copied and pasted it into OpenCali. And this, that's machine readable. That's how the machine looks at that article, stores it, and can make sense of it. Having got all my text there, I can then say, okay, that's interesting. I've taken all the text, I've made it into a machine readable form. Can I now extract some facts and opinions from that, please, machine? And I'll take you through this, don't have to read it. But this is the result of that. And it's reproduced the text on the right-hand side. And on the left, it's told me it's pulled out some features. So it said, there's an entity here, a fact. I think that London, or Greater London in United Kingdom, is a city. That's a fact, yep. I'll come back to that one in a second. It says it's found a facility, King's College. Well, that sounds good too. It's found two organizations, King's College, National Foundations for Infantile, and it's just truncated it, but if you click on it, it's there. So it's found a couple of organizations. It's found some people. Look, Jerry Donahue, Nat, I'm not sure who Nat is, Physiol, now that doesn't look like a person, and R.E. Franklin. But there's two names missing from that list, right? Well, if it was a human, if I go back, you know immediately who wrote it. I mean, just because they're positioned up there, they're in, is that red? Yeah, I'm colorblind. Is it red?
Green,
okay. So I really am colorblind. So you know, looking by the position there, and you recognize the names, they're people, right? But of course the machine doesn't know that. So it's missed them entirely. Happens a lot in text mining. The other thing that happens a lot is something called false positive. So here's something, DNA Dynamics Inc. That appears nowhere in the text. Nowhere at all. DNA appears, but DNA Dynamics Inc. doesn't appear anywhere. So where did that come from? I don't actually know. Maybe they did a match and they found a company name, or I'm not sure. But it's a false positive. Again, something that happens very often in text mining. Very interesting things, the highlighted areas. It's found, so these are facts, but it's also found things that it believes might be opinions. It's found a phrase that says, we have made the usual chemical assumptions. And it's recognized that that is a phrase, just like Google Translate does, that comes off, crops up a lot, and probably means something. So it's pulled that highlighted out. It also highlighted, we believe that the material which gives the X-ray, so again, we believe that. So it started to understand the structure of the text and said, hang on, we believe something in this context, that might be an important opinion, and it's pulled it out for us to look at. That's all text mining is, just done on a very large scale, with more documents than we could ever read in our lifetime. But it's just reading. Thank you.